All right, Shavuot, say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Pei Tes. We are beginning in Meretz Hashem, the 10th parak of Zvachim, parak Kolatadi, which is going to be beautiful. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Akiva and Dr. Karen Andrews in celebration of their 20th anniversary. Very special because Baruch Hashem, this is a sponsorship from Eretz Yisrael, so a little bit of a connection to Eretz Yisrael as we begin our shir today. We wish the Andrews a happy anniversary and many beautiful brachos and milestones. Ad mei ve'esem shanim tovos. All right, so let's begin. New parak, new opportunities. Still zvachim, yes, still zvachim. Thank you for the meaning. What you meant to say was still zvachim, right? Yes, so that is correct. It is still zvachim. Unfortunately, it's not going to be zvachim for too much longer. So we'll say, see, you do have to chaperayim as long as we are in zvachim, because you look back and it might be another 7.5 years until you see it again. Don't come crying to me when it's over and you missed out. Right, so I say, with that, let's go. This is actually interesting, this Mishnah, because we're going to speak about a halachic principle that transcends Kachim, although the source of it is going to be Kachim. Peites, 89, A top of the daf. Anything, Rabosei, that so what the Mishnah is referring to over here is as follows. If I have an obligation to perform two things, in this case, the two things are, let's say, two different karbanos, and I have to figure out which one I perform first. So how do I determine the proper sacrificial order? So the Mishnah says, whatever ultimately, again, comes, whatever is more frequent than its fellow, comes before its fellow. In other words, we're both saying, so whichever carbon occurs with greater frequency, whichever carbon is offered more often, that is the carbon which comes first. So the Mishnah now gives examples of this principle. Hatzmidin kodmin lemusafin. So, for example, the carbon tzom, which is the daily offering, comes before a musaf offering. Now, we'll say this is all musaf, whether it's musaf of Shabbos, musaf of Rosh Chodesh, it doesn't make a difference. The tamid, kishmo kenhu, is a constant daily carbon. As such, it is the most frequent carbon, and therefore brought before anything else. Musve Shabbos, kodim musaf Rosh Chodesh. So, we'll say the musaf of Shabbos is brought before the musaf of Rosh Chodesh. Makes sense. Shabbos is weekly, Rosh Chodesh monthly. Musve Rosh Chodesh kodmim l'musaf Rosh Hashanah. So we'll say the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh comes before the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. And I will say, now again, even though the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, of course, also has some element of Rosh Chodesh associated with it, nevertheless, it is its own unique carbon, only occurring once a year, versus Rosh Chodesh, which is every month. So Shene Emar, and I will say again, the Mishnah doesn't go through all of the examples, just some of them. Where do we learn this out from? Because the Pasuk says, Milvad olas habokir asher li olas hatomid ta'as ta'asu es eila. So I'll say, interestingly enough, this pasuk is talking about the musafim, the extra offerings of Pesach. So the pasuk says, Milvad olas habokir asher li olas hatomid, in addition to the morning ola, which is the olas hatomid, the tomid offering, Ta'asu es eila. Shall you go ahead and offer these up? So you shall offer the musafim of Pesach in addition to the carbon tamid. So the way the Gemara is darshaning this over here is as follows. The lashon of milvad olas haboker seems to teach us what? Milvad means that's already occurring first. In addition to that which is already occurring first, you should offer up these other additional karbanos. So from here you see that the tamid comes before the musafim of Pesach. Why would the tamid come before the musafim of Pesach? It must be because of the concept of tadir, visha eno tadir, tadir kodim. If you have something which is frequent, has to be done together with something that is infrequent, that which has greater frequency comes first. Beautiful. And I do want to point out that actually the Gemara and other places, as we've seen, discuss this concept, but this is the makar. This is the makar for this halacha. So it says, minatlon. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks a strange question. Minatlon. From where do we know the concept of tadir? Right, kol ha-tadir mechavero, kodim eschavero. Where do I know that something that occurs with greater frequency is done first? So the Gemara says, minalon, kidaga amar taima, milvad olas haboker. I don't understand. The Mishnah said, this is actually one of these unique Mishnayas where what? I learned the halacha, and what else did I learn? the pasuk, that's the source, or the source for the drasha. So what do you mean when the Gemara asks, from where do we know this halacha? The Mishnah already told me, milvad olas habaker, sher li olas hatamid, ta'asu es eila. So the Gemara says, dilma, t'midin hein dekad mulu musafin, mishum detadir, detadiri, musafin le musafin minolan. So what's that, to which the Gemara asks, the truth is, all I know from that pasuk is that the carbon tamid comes before the carbon musaf. That's what I know from that pasuk. So I was like, because remember, that's what the pasuk is talking about. It says that the carbon tamid comes before the musafim of Pesach. So the Mishnah makes a jump and assumes that halacha lemaisa, you could take this pasuk and you could create a principle from it. How do I know that? Maybe all the pasuk is literally teaching me about says what it says, which is that the carbon tamid comes before the carbon musaf. But lav dafka, that let's say about say, what about in the realm of musafim? Let's say I have a conflict ultimately again between the musafim of Rosh Hashanah and the regular musafim, right? Regular musaf of Rosh Chodesh. How do I know that Rosh Chodesh comes before Rosh Hashanah? Where do I learn that from? To which the Gemara says musafim the musafim minalon. Amar Rabbi Eloi do Amar Kra. Ka'ela ta'asu liyom shivas yamim. So we'll say, so the pasuk says, still by Pesach, ka'ela, this is the ka'ela, right? You can say it along if you want, right? This is the Gemara, says, ka'ela ta'asu liyom shivas yamim, lechem ishe la'ashem, ishe reach nichoach la'ashem, ala los ha'tamid yaseh v'nisko. So we'll say, so the Gemara says as follows. So the pasuk says, ka'ela ta'asu liyom shivas yamim. So the Gemara says, like these, shall you do for all 7 days? So the Gemara says, Ka'ela, I'm sorry, Ela, Ka'ela. These should be like these. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rabbi says, it's the last of the wide lines on top. E Ka'ela Tasu, Basra Hukra, Dimelvad Olas Aboker Tasu Esela, Ksiv Ka'ela Tasu, Mashma Kisedir Sha'amarti Lacha Ka'ela Shamala, Kishim Shetadir Kodem, Kach seder hamusafim shem yesh yom sheyesh beis musaf can go b'shabbes shabbosoch haragel yat hadir kodem. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what the Gemara is suggesting is as follows: that the first pasuk, you're right, in Achinami teaches me that when I have a conflict between the tamid and the musaf, so the tamid comes first. Then the next pasuk says, ka'ela tasula yom shivas yamim. That in general, when offering karbanos, ka'ela, they should resemble the structure that these other karbanos are offered. And just like in these karbanos, when I say these, the musaf of Pesach versus the tamid is offered first because it occurs with greater frequency. So too, again, in general, in Hilchos karbanos, even when I have two different musafin to be offered, I look at which musaf is offered more frequently, and that one goes first. Mercy, 1 second. V'hami b'ayde l'gufei. But I need that pasuk of Ka'ila to teach me its own halacha. But say, what's the own halacha of Ka'ila? Look at Rashi, the Gufei. Lahatin musaf lezayin hayomim demikra kama yom rishon hudinafkalon. But say, interesting, the Gemara says, but 1 second, that pasuk of Ka'ila comes to teach me that what? That I offer a karban musaf all 7 days. Because from the first pasuk, all I would have known is that I offer up a karban when? On the first day of Pesach. The second pasuk comes along to teach me that I offer up a karban on all 7 days of Pesach. So you see what's happening over here? We have a little bit of drasha tension. So on one hand, again, what the Gemara says, here's what the Gemara is suggesting. The Gemara is suggesting that the first pasuk, Milvat Olas HaTamid Asher Olas HaTamid Ta'ases Eila, teaches me that when I have a conflict between Tamid and Musaf, Tamid comes first. Why? Why? Tadir v'sheino tadir, I should say, kol ha-tadir mechavero kodim eschavero. Tamid occurs with greater frequency, therefore it goes first. So we'll say, to which the Gemara we originally thought that pasuk could serve as the proof for this principle in general. Now the problem the Gemara raises is maybe that only teaches me about a conflict between Ola, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld, a conflict between Tamid and Musaf. How do I know that it applies to other sacrificial conflict in the context of other karbanos, to which the Gemara says, you're right. That's what the second pasuk calls for. The next pasuk. Just like you have this order for the 7 days of Pesach, i.e., that Tamid comes before the Musaf, so too you can learn that from this concept to all other karbanos as well, that kol atodir mechavero kodem eschavero. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, that Trusha doesn't work, I'll tell you why. Vami b'yile l'gufei. But say, I need the pasuk of Kaila to teach me that there is a karban musaf all 7 days. That's what that pasuk comes for. Because without that pasuk, I would have assumed that what? Based on the first pasuk of Nevada l'asavoker, I would have thought there's only a musaf on day one, but not a musaf on the subsequent days. If I need that pasuk, therefore, to teach me that there's a musaf on all the 7 days of Pesach, that in reality, that pasuk is not free for the drasha you're using. To which the Gemara says, Im Kain, well, if that's all the pasuk wanted to teach me, that there's a kabbal musaf all 7 days, it could have said, Nichtov, Eila ta'asu layom. It could have just said, Eila, these shall you do for each day. But the fact that it writes, Ka'ela, is coming to teach me an additional drasha as well. Here is the problem. If the pasuk would have just said, this is what you should do each day for the 7 days of Pesach, hava amina eila l'shivas yomim, eila l'shivas yomim. I would have thought that what? I would have thought ultimately again, it is only these. Look at Rashi. Eila l'shivas yomim, osan shiva kvasim ha'amurim be'inyon yischalku l'shivas yomim. I would have thought that the 7 musaf offerings that are mentioned on day number 1 are actually split up over the 7 days of Pesach. Therefore, again, liyom ksiv. Therefore, Bosevi says liyom, which teaches me that there are 7 musaf offerings for each day. Vakati ema ele liyom aval shar yomi lo yedana kama. But still, I could say maybe there are 7 karbanos on the first day. The rest of the days, I literally don't know what we're offering. I mean, I know we're offering something, but I don't know what we're offering. Amar kra ta'asu. Therefore, the pasuk says, you shall do. She kol ha'asios shavos, which teaches me that the sacrificial order for all 7 days of Pesach is exactly the same. So we'll say, Abayi amar megufa dekra. So Abayi says, ultimately, again, no, let's go back and let's learn out the principle from the original pasuk that we quoted. Im kain lama lemakra milvad olas haboker v'tishtok. So we'll say, if the pasuk just wanted to teach me, if this is pasuk number 1, milvad olas haboker shali olas hatomid ta'ases eila. If all that pasuk was coming to teach me was that when you have a conflict between tamid and musaf, tamid wins, but I can't necessarily extrapolate from that for that same halacha for other sacrificial law, then the pasuk could have just said im kain lemakra milvad olas haboker v'tishtok. Let the pasuk just say milvad olas haboker and stop. Be quiet. Asher li olas hatomid lamalei lamemar. Right. So ultimately, why do I need that last phrase? Asher li olas hatomid. So you both say milvad olas haboker. What is the ola of the morning? I will say. What is the ola of the morning? It's the tamid. It's the tamid. So that phrase, asher li olas hatomid, Rabbi say, is an extra unnecessary phrase in the pasuk. Why is it there? Lama li lemeimar, tahach ditadira tiktum. Shabbos say, interestingly enough, that phrase is being used ultimately to create a construct, to create a principle. What's the principle, Shabbos say? So the way you read the pasuk is as follows. Milvad olas haboker. So now the Torah is telling me that in addition, ultimately, again, to the musaf I'm going to offer on Pesach, I first have to offer my carbon tumid. First I have to offer my daily sacrifice, and then I could offer up the musafin. Why does the pasuk then add in asher li olas hatumid? Oh, and by the way, that ola that I just mentioned, the olas haboker, that's the olas hatumid. So Abai saying, you know why? Because Rabbi say, from that phrase, the pasuk's teaching me a principle. What's the principle? Why does the olas haboker, why is that offered up ultimately again before the musaf? Because it is the olas hatamid. Because Rabbi say, since it occurs with greater tedirus, it occurs with greater frequency, ultimately again than the musaf, therefore it goes first. So Rabbi say, we come full circle, and it turns out that at least when it comes to sacrificial law, everyone agrees with the principle of kolatadir mechaviro kodem eschaviro. Whatever occurs with greater sacrificial frequency, ultimately, again, comes before, comes first, and ultimately, again, we are going to learn it out from this pasuk, from by Pesach. Milvad olas avokia sherli olas hatomid. Just like Torah teaches me that the tomid comes before the musaf of Pesach, so too, again, Abba said, this becomes the paradigm for all sacrificial law of kol atodir mechaviro kodim eschaviro. Beautiful. Let's go back to the Mishnah. We'll say now, kind of going along, continuing the theme a little bit, about what happens when you have multiple sacrificial things that you have to do. How do you figure out what is done first? So we're going to continue with this over here. So we'll say next principle. So principle number one is kolaktadir mechavero kodim eschavero. And again, everyone's agreeing with that. Greater frequency gets you precedent. You're not precedent, but gets you... Gets you priority. Thank you. Says the Mishnah, "Kolamakudosh mechavero kodem eschavero." So here's what's next. Let's say I have two karbanos or two sacrificial things that I have to do, two sacrificial services, and I'm not sure which one to do first. So we'll say, obviously, the first metric seems to be frequency. Frequency determines priority. So we'll say, what happens if frequency, though, is not on the table? Let's say they both occur with the same amount of frequency. So we'll say, so then the next metric is kodesh, is sanctity. Whatever is more holy than its fellow, ultimately, again, comes first. So now the Mishnah Bosei is going to go through the list. Now, here's what's interesting is, we're going to see the rankings over here as to what's more kodesh, what's less kodesh, sometimes are intuitive and sometimes are not necessarily intuitive. Obviously, everything makes sense because it's chazal. So of course, it makes sense. Just sometimes you'll see it glaringly in the Mishnah. Sometimes we'll just have to go ahead and investigate a bit more. So here we go. We'll say, look at Rashi for just a moment. Kolam kodesh mechavero. So Rashi says, Shiyesh botzad ribui kidusha mimeno. So we'll say, because the phrase of whatever is holier than its fellow. So we'll say, which is an interesting statement, because we would assume, you know, there's different kinds of holiness, but ultimately, again, holiness is holiness. To which Rashi says what it means is that there's an element of amplified holiness. Certain things have certain elements of amplified holiness over other forms of sacrificial service. So whatever has a greater form of amplified kedusha, ultimately comes first. So here we go. Get ready. Dam hachatos kodel dam haola. So we'll say, so if you have, so the blood, what this means is the blood applications, right? Applying the dam of the chatos on the mizbeach comes before the dam haola. Now Rashi points out to me, and we'll say, now where does this come up? So just so you understand the context, Rashi says, dam chatos kodel dam haola, im shnehem shchutin va'omdin lizaris. So we'll say the case would be, remember, You can have multiple karbanos shechted simultaneously. So you have two kohanim who are shechting, right? One is doing a chatas, one is doing an ola. But let's say again that one of them has to run out, family emergency. So there's one kohen left with two kalim, right? Two utensils of blood. Which one does he do zrika on first? So the Mishnah says that dam chatas comes before dam ola. Why? Mipnei shumeratzeh. Well, this is actually quite interesting because dam chatos ultimately, again, has the ability to affect atonement. Chatos affects atonement. You want me to... Oh, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. I'm sorry. Very good. That was your father's fault. I was not going to do that on my own. So the Gemara says as follows. So Mishnah says, so dam chatos comes before dam ola. Why? Because it will say, ultimately, again, it atones. So there's an element of atonement over here, an element of atonement that Chatas has over Ola, which I will say, again, is interpreted by the Mishnah as a Ribui Kedusha. The ability to atone in and of itself amplifies the holiness of the Dam Chatas over the Dam Ola. Good. Eivare Ola, Komen Le'imure Chatas. But we'll say, on the other hand, the limbs, burning the limbs of an Ola, comes before burning of the sacrificial parts of a Chatas. All right. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here. So actually, not yet. Why? Because we'll say the Ola is totally consumed on the Mizbeach and the Chatos is not. So we'll say, just so you understand this interesting idea. So when it comes to sprinkling of blood, the sprinkling of the blood of a Chatos comes before the blood of an Ola. When it comes to the burning of the sacrificial parts of an Ola are burned before the sacrificial parts of a Chatos. Why? Because since an Ola is totally burned, consumed on the Mizbeach, that is considered to be Ripui Kedusha. That is considered to be an amplified element of the holiness of the Ola. Interesting. Chatos Kodemes La'asham. A Chatos of Osai is offered up before an Asham. Why? Mipnei Shedama Nitan Ledalad Kronos Va'al Yisod. Because of Osai, by a Chatos, his blood is applied on all four corners, as well as on the base of the Mizbeach. Now, for the Asham, Rashi points out, Va'al Dalad Kronos, Rashi says, Va'asham Beis Matanos Shein Dalad B'la'a Kronos. So the Asham actually only has two applications, and it's not on the horns of the Mizbeach. Therefore, again, Chatas comes first. Asham Kodem L'Toda Ve'el Nazir. An Asham is offered up before Toda, Thanksgiving offering, Ve'el Nazir. We'll say, that's the Nazir offering. Why? Mipneishu Kodshe Kadashim. Because we'll say, an Asham is still Kodshe Kadashim versus a Toda and an El Nazir, which are what? Which are Kodshim Kalim, lower sanctity karbanos. Toda Ve'el Nazir, Kodmin L'Shlamim. We'll say, Toda and El Nazir come before Shlamim. Why? Mipneishin Ne'echalim Liyom Echad, Utu'unin Lechem. Because Rabbi say, interestingly enough, because they, Toda and El Nazir, have a smaller window of consumption and also require lechem, also require bread. So because of that, again, they're considered to have an amplified kedusha. Hashlamim kodim lebuchar. Shlamim are offered up before a buchar offering. Why? Mipnei shein tuunan maton dalid usmicha unisachim utnufas chazei v'shok. Because we'll say, ultimately, again, a shlamim require blood applications, smicha, nesachim, libations, tunufos chazei v'shok, which means a waving of the chest and the thigh. Habachar kodem lemeiser. The bechor offering comes before meiser. Why? Mipnei shekidushasso meirechem v'ne'echa l'kohanim. Because we'll say, bechor is sanctified from the womb. Right? Remember, bechor animal is already sanctified, still in utero. And furthermore, it is consumed by the kohanim. Ha-meister, Rabbi say, meister means meister behemo. Ha-meister kodem la'ofos. So Rabbi say, meister behemo comes before any kind of bird offerings. Why? Mipnei shehu zevach. Ultimately, again, because the bird offering, Rabbi say, is not an animal, is not considered to be an animal sacrifice. So, an animal sacrifice will always come before birds. V'yesh bokodesh kadoshim. Dama ve'imura. Furthermore, again, I'm going to say, for Meister Behemoth, the animal itself has an element, what we say of Kodesh Kadashim, Rashi says, V'yishpo Kodesh Kadashim is the first of the widest lines on the bottom of Rashi, Lechale kavoah beiz dvarim. So, Damo ve'imura, Mashinkim mechata sov she'en lemizbeach ala dama. So, also, when it comes to Meister Behemoth, ultimately, again, its blood and its limbs are burnt on the Mizbeach, as opposed to an oaf, as opposed to a bird, where ultimately, again, there's only a blood application. Ha'ofos kod min l'menachos. Let's say bird offerings come before mincha offerings. Why? Mipnei shei minei damim. Because we'll say at least bird offerings have a blood application. As opposed to, so we'll say, you begin to see blood applications, again, are considered to be an amplified form of holiness. So bird offerings at least have a blood application, therefore they come before mincha. Minchas chote, kodem la minchas nedava. We'll say minchas chote, which is a mincha brought as a sin offering, ultimately, again, comes before a voluntary mincha. Why? Mipnei shuhuba ala chet. Because ultimately, again, minchas chote comes for a chet. Which we'll say is another way of saying the minchas chote comes first. Why? Because there's an element of kapara associated with it. You see that whenever there's an element of atonement associated with a particular karban, that amplifies its inherent kiddusha. Chatos ha'ov kodemes la'olas ha'ov. So we'll say the chatos of a bird chatos, comes before a bird ola, right? So ultimately, v'chein behagdesha. And we'll say, we're going to see Rashi points out over here, it's actually quite interesting, because it's not immediately clear. I mean, we'd be tempted to say that Chata Sa'of should come first. Why? Because Lemaisa, again, there's an atonement element with it. But yet, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Mikrai Naflam Gemara. We actually learn out this hierarchy from Psukim. And lastly, again, Bechayim Be'akdesha. Rashi says, Keshum Mefarish says, Kino Korishim L'chatas Tchila. But say, when you are bringing a pair of birds, one as a Chatas and one as an Ola, ultimately, again, the Chatas is designated before the Ola. Good. So we'll say, so here we have our entire carbonic hierarchy. So remember again, first we started off with the principle the hierarchy is established by frequency. Now we're establishing that hierarchy is established ultimately again through intensity of sacrificial holiness. Whatever possesses greater sacrificial intensity has greater holiness and therefore comes first. Okay, so says the Gemara. We'll say, I'll pay test on the base. So remember, we're starting over here with a discussion. Ultimately, Rashi says, the dam chatos kodem ledam ola ve'ivari ola kol min le'emore chatos. So we'll say the little bit of the anomaly that the Gemara is dealing with over here is as follows. What we establish is when it comes to blood applications, the blood of a chatos is applied before the blood of an ola. Now, what was the logic behind that? The logic behind that was the blood of a chatos provides atonement, and the blood of an ola does not. Therefore, the blood of a chatos is quote-unquote more kadosh. That was number one. Number two, the Gemara said, but yet despite that, the limbs of an ola are burned on the mizbech before the limbs of a chatos. Why? Because the limbs of the ola are totally consumed versus the sacrificial parts of a chatos, which are not. So the Gemara says, what's the pshat? So Menahani, we know this from Tan Rabbanon, Uparshini ben Bakar tikach lechatos. We'll say the pasuk says, so this is talking about in Parshas Baloscha, like Rashi says, the dedication of the Levium. So the pasuk says, Uparsheni ben Bakar tikach lechatos. You shall take a second par as a chatos. So we'll say, what is this coming to teach me? In Balalamed Shem Shnayim, if you want to tell me that they're bringing two par chatos offerings, then I already know that Harikvar Ne'amar Vasisa Esa Echad Chatos, the Esa Echad Ola. I already know that we're bringing two parim. I already know that we're bringing two cows as you offering. Why does he need to say parasheni? To which the Gemara says, Matam Olomar Parasheni Ben Bakar, Tichach Lachatos. So we'll say, if that's the case, we're asking a very simple question. Why does the pasuk say parasheni, two cow, the second cow, when you already know that we're dealing with two cows? And if we already offered up the first as the Ola, I know that the second one is a Chatos. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, Umatam Olomar Parasheni Ben Bakar, Tichach Lachatos. Here we go. Shiyacho sheichatos kodemes l'cho ma'asa ola. I might have thought that a chatos comes before an ola for all aspects of a sacrificial service. Talmud lomar, uparshein ben bakar tikach l'chatos. So everyone say what it sounds like is, no, the second part is taken as a chatos. Which everyone say sounds like what? That the first part, which is an ola, comes before the chatos. So one second. So that sounds like ola comes before chatos. I parsheini. So now if you're telling me that the chatos is the second par, yachol te ola kodemes lechatos lechol masa, I might have thought now that the halacha is that the chatos comes before the ola in all sacrificial respects. Talmud lomar, v'asa esa echad chatos v'esa echad ola. Therefore the pasuk says, no, you shall give one of them as a chatos, one of them as an ola. Now in this pasuk, what do you see, Rabbi Osai? That chatos is mentioned before ola. So what you begin to see, Rabbi Osai, is that we seem to have contradictory psukim. Which comes first, the chatos or the ola? One pasuk or one phrase seems to indicate it's the chatos first. One pasuk, one phrase seems to indicate it's the ola first. So which one is it? Ketzad dam chatos kodemes ledam ola mipnei shemiratza. We'll say, so the first principle we establish in this psukim is that chatos comes before ola. In what sense? Blood applications. That the blood application of the chatas comes before the blood application of the ola. Why? Because the blood of the chatas affects atonement. The blood of the ola does not. And therefore, again, the chatas comes first. What about a variola? So now let's go weiter. But what did we say? That the limbs of the ola are burned on the mizbeach before the limbs of a chatas. Am I? Ultimately, again, why is that? Why is that? Says the Gemara. So now what's interesting is as follows. So now what you're telling me is like this. The blood applications of the Chatas come before the blood applications of the Ola because the Chatas affects atonement. But we're now, Bosei, switching gears for just a moment and asking the following question. Why do we assume that all four of the blood applications of the Chatas come first? Why don't they say as follows? Matona kamaisa de mechapra tikdom v'hanach lo. Bosei, I have a different idea. All I know is that a blood application of the Chatas comes before blood applications of the Ola. We'll say, when is atonement affected with the Zrika, with the blood applications of the Chatos? Immediately after the first application. So why don't I say, I should do one blood application of the Chatos, then what? Then move back to the Ola afterwards, and then do the subsequent blood applications following that. To which the Gemara says, Amar Avino, Hacha b'chatas ha-leviyim askinon. We're talking about, we'll say, about the specific chatas of the Leviyim that was brought on the day of their inauguration. Va'af agav d'chi ola dami kam rachmana hi tiktum. And even though ultimately, again, this more resembles an ola, nevertheless, the pasuk says that it should come first. B'ma'arava amri, in Eretz Yisrael, they used to say, there's a simpler reason. Hoil v'hischil b'matanos gomer. We'll say that, in other words, we don't have a concept. Once you begin blood applications, then we say what? We say what? Finish it up, right? Finish it up, right? Finish it up, please. Right. So once you start the blood applications, then ultimately, again, we go ahead and we finish up the remaining ones as well. So we'll say what we end off with over here, Bosse, is as follows: We've just effectively gone ahead and proven the first halacha, which is that when you have both the blood of a chatos and the blood of an ola to apply on the mizbeach, which comes first? Blood of a chatas. And we'll say, logic is what? Because the blood of a chatas affects atonement. The affecting of atonement, apparently, again, results in an amplified form of holiness. Therefore, chatas, blood applications, come before blood, ola blood applications. So why don't you just do one blood application of the chatas? That's enough, that affects atonement. We seem to adapt the svar of Eretz Yisrael that once you start, finish it up. We're not going to start. If you think about it, also it's illogical. You're not going to do one blood application of the chatas, then jump back to the ola, then do the remaining applications of the chatas. Once you started it, even though really you only need one to affect kapara, once you start it, finish it up, and then go back to the blood of the ola. So the Gemara goes weiter. Ibai lehu. Well, the Gemara says shayla. Dam chatos. Ibailu, dam chatos veivari ola. Well, say, listen to the following case. What happens if you have blood of a chatos and the limbs of an ola? Eza mehen kodem. So, we'll say, you hear this interesting shayla. So now I have to. So, this, let's say again, there's one coin on shift. So now he has to choose between sprinkling the blood of the chatos, applying the blood of the chatos, or burning the limbs of the ola. So, we'll say, now you understand the tension over here. When I have a conflict between Ola blood and Chatas blood, which one comes first? Chatas blood. When I have a conflict between the sacrificial parts of a Chatas and an Ola, which one comes first? Ola. So I say, so now here I have a conflict between the blood of a Chatas and the limbs of an Ola. So which one? I'm one guy. I can only do one thing at a time. So which one do I do first? Ezim and Kodem. So do we say, Tam Chatas Kodem Eishim Ratzah? So on one hand, I could say that the blood of the chata should come first. Why? Because it affects atonement. O Dilma, a very ola kolmin mipnei shem kalili ishim. Or maybe I should say that what? Maybe I should say that the limbs of the ola come first. Why? Because they're fairly burnt on the mizbeach. So the Gemara tries to judge this, or tries to come to a conclusion from the Mishnah. So Tashma, dam chatas kodim la dam ola. So the pasuk, the Mishnah said that the dam of the chatas comes before the dam of an ola. The dam ola hu dekadim leivari ola lo kadim. I can infer from that the blood of a chatas only comes first when it's in conflict with the blood of an ola. But if it's in conflict with the evarim of the ola, maybe the evarim go first. Adarabba, I can say just the opposite. Meseifa, I can learn out from the end of the Mishnah. Evari ola komin leimuri chatos. The limbs of an ola come before the sacrificial parts of a chatos. So the Gemara says, leimuri chatos u dekadim, ledam chatos lo kadim. When do a muri ola come first? So I'll say only when they're in conflict with the sacrificial parts of a chatos. But if it's with the blood of a chatos comes first. Ela meha leka lemashane. Rather, I will say, it turns out that I actually can't answer this question from our Mishnah. So we'll say, you're going to keep a running tab of these questions. We're going to answer all of them. But I'll say, but at least for now, question number one, conflict between chatas blood and ola limbs. We tried to prove that from the Mishnah. I can't prove it here. We'll see the answer. Next question. We're going to do a series of questions. Ibailu. We'll say now, what's happening, by the way, in these questions here is that we're going to mix and match categories. Ibailu. Dam ola ve'emure chatas. So we'll say, what happens if I have the blood of an ola and the limbs of a chatas? So we'll say, so again, remember, what's the case here? both of these I'm the Kohen. Both of these sacrificial items are standing before me, and I have to figure out what to do first. In other words, I'm one person, so therefore, by definition, I could only do one thing. Which avoda should I do first? So ola blood, chatos limbs, right? Ezmim kodem, dam ola kodem, the kasi mikoach kala. So we'll say on one hand, I could say that the blood of an ola should be offered first. Why, Abosai? Because an ola is fully offered on the mizbeach. Remember, this notion that something is totally consumed on the mizbeach by definition endows it with an extra dimension of sacrificial sanctity. O Dilma, Abosai, first wide line, peites amadalef. O Dilma, a mure chatas komin. Maybe again, the limbs of a chatas come first. Why? Dekaasi mikoach mechaper. Because at the end of the day, it has an atonement factor. Or as well as say, chatas has an atonement. An atonement factor is an element, is an added dimension of sanctity as well. So let's analyze this in the Mishnah. So Tashma, dam chatas called dam ola. The blood of a chatas comes before blood of an ola. Dam chatas with the kodl dam ola, aval e mure chatas lo. But maybe it's only the blood of a chatas that comes before the blood of an ola, but not the limbs of a chatas. To which the verse says, just the opposite. Meseifa evare ola kolmele imure chatos. Bosei, it says the limbs of an ola come before the sacrificial parts of a chatos. Evare ola dekamele imure chatos. Aval dam ola lo. It is only the limbs of an ola that come before the limbs of a chatos, but not the blood. Ela mehal lek lamashen. Rather, Bosei, once again, we cannot come to a conclusion based on the inference of Mishnah. So Bosei, this is now question number two. Conflict between the blood of an ola, blood of an ola, and the limbs of a chatas. So again, left unresolved. Keep your running tab. Ibailu. We'll say next kasha. Dam ola v'dam asham. Eisimem kodem. We'll say, now listen to this case. What happens if I have a conflict between, again, I can only offer one, and I have in front of me now the blood of an ola and the blood of an asham. Which we'll say, sinadash eisim mehen kodem. Which one should I offer up first? Dam ola kodim de ka'asi mikoach kalil. On one hand, the ola should come first. Why? Because it's totally consumed on the mizbeach. Odilma, dam asham kodim de ka'asi mikoach mechaper. We'll see, on the other hand, asham has an atonement element. And as we've seen before, the ability for something to atone, by definition, endows it with amplified sanctity. So let's analyze this. So tashma, dam chatas kodim dam ola. Dam chatas comes before dam ola, aval dam asham lo. But we'll say ultimately again, but not dam asham. Or as we'll say ultimately, it's only chatas which precedes ola, but asham will not precede ola. So the Gemara says, but it's not necessarily. Bedinhu di'ibay lemisne dam asham. The truth is, in reality, it is possible that dam asham also precedes. So we'll say, now let's go back for just a moment. Why is it that dam chatas comes before dam asham? Why is that? Why? Because ultimately kapara. Right? Ultimately, again, there's a kapara factor. Chatas provides kapara, ola does not. Ola does not. So, using that logic, asham should come before, dam asham should come before dam ola as well. Yet the Mishnah doesn't write that. To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The Mishnah should have written it, but it didn't write it for the following reason. But didn't udi by the misni dam asham. Really, the Mishnah could have written that dam asham also precedes, also comes before dam ola. So, why didn't it? But since it had to write in the end of the Mishnah, that the limbs of an ola come before the limbs of a chatos, because if it would have added in over here the limbs of an asham, I would have thought ultimately again that the ola only precedes the imuri asham and not the imuri chatos. Therefore, again, Mishum Hachi, Tana Chatas. Therefore, ultimately, again, it says Chatas. So we'll say, but what comes out over here is that Halacha, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying, is that indeed when you have a conflict between the Dam Ola and Dam Asham, the Dam Asham, in fact, will come first. Why? Because like Chatas, it provides some element of atonement, and because it provides some element of atonement, that makes it more Kaddush. Tashma, Chatas Kodem La Asham. So I'll say this. So remember again, what did we learn before? That the chatas comes before an asham. Chatas with the kadma the asham. It is a chatas that comes before an asham. Aval ola lo. But an ola does not come before an asham. So the Gemara says, my lav dam. Are we not referring ultimately again to blood applications? And therefore you're telling me that the blood of an asham is applied before the blood of an ola. Lo aimurim. Not necessarily. We're talking about actually the burning of sacrificial parts. We'll say, not necessarily, it could be referring to a murim. We can learn this out. Why? Because it says, ultimately, his blood is applied. Shema minah. So we'll say, so again, this question also seems to be left without resolution, which is, so question number three, is what happens when I have a conflict between the blood of an ola and the blood of an asham, which one comes first? So we'll say, so it sounded like the Gemara was saying that the blood of an asham will come first because it has the ability, ultimately, to affect atonement. But now it's sounding like maybe it's just talking about the burning of sacrificial parts. So again, question left unresolved for the Christian, we're going to resolve it. Chatos kodemes. So remember again, the Mishnah said that the chatos comes before. So the Gemara says, Adraba, Asham kodim, sheyesh lo kitzva. So we'll say ultimately again, but still, so remember we said before that a chatos comes before an asham. But why should that be? The asham should come first. Why? Rabbi says, sheyesh lo kitzva. Rashi says, sheyesh lo kitzva, the dama. Rabbi says, interestingly enough, an asham has a minimum value, whereas a chatos does not. The fact that an asham has a minimum value, in other words, you have to pay. Rashi says, sheyesh lo kitzva, the dama of dechsev, biskesef shkalim. So the asham has to be a minimum of 2 shkalim, but a chatas could be, I'll say, any amount. So the fact that it has to have a certain value should make an asham more chashuv, to which the Gemara says, afilu achi yiri boidim is be'ach adiv. The fact that we'll say that you have more sacrificial laws as they apply to chatas makes chatas more kadosh. Asham kodem latoda, an asham comes before a toda. Adraba, I would say just the opposite. The Toda and El Nazir should come before the Asham. Why? Because they require loaves of bread. Nevertheless, again, Asham comes before. Why? Because ultimately, again, it is considered to be Kodesh Kadashim. Fine. So we'll say, so the Gemara goes weiter. Toda ve'El Nazir. So Adraba. So we'll say Toda and El Nazir come before a Shlamim. Adirab, I would say just the opposite. Shlomim kadmi, why? Shlomim should come first. Shkein yeshna, but tzibur kibi yachid. Because we'll say both the tzibur and the yachid could bring shlomim. Yet, that is not true, ultimately, again, by the toda. Only a yachid brings a toda. Afilu hachi, ne'echalin liyom echad adifi. Nevertheless, the fact that the shlomim could only be consumed, the toda and el nazir could only be consumed for one day, we'll say, ultimately gives them an element of sanctity over the shlomim. Ibailuhu, Toda ve El Nazir, Ezim and Kodim. But say, what about in the category of Toda and El Nazir? Right? What about the category of Toda and the Nazir offering itself? Which one comes first? Ezim and Kodim. Toda Kadma, Shekin Tuuna Dalid Mine Lechem. So one thing I can say, Toda comes first because it requires 4 different types of bread that is brought with it. Odilma El Nazir Kodim, Shekin Yeshimo Dam Macherim. Or about say, ultimately again, El Nazir should come first. El Nazir should come first, ultimately, again, because it has other blood applications. So Tashma, Zu Kodemes Lazu, Shezu Tuuna Dalid Minei Lechem, Vizu Eina Tuuna Elish Ne Minei Lechem. So we'll say, therefore, the Pasuk says that Eina Chinami, the Karban Toda, comes first before the El Nazir. Why? Because the Karban Toda requires 4 different types of loaves, whereas the El Nazir only requires 2. We'll say just a little bit weiter. HaShlamim Kodmin LeBechor, Shlamim comes before Bechor. Why? Adarabo. Bechor kodem, I would say Bechor is offered first, shekin kiddushas meirechem, because the Bechor is sanctified already in utero, v'ne'ach ala kohanim, and is consumed by the kohanim, afilu hachi, mitzos yiseros adifi. Rabbi said, nevertheless, there are more sacrificial details associated with shlam than Bechor, therefore shlam comes first. HaBechor kodem, Bechor comes before Maiser behema. Adurab, I would say just the opposite. Meiser kodem shekin mekadesh lefanavu la'achar. But I'll say this is actually unique halacha by Meiser behema, which is if you accidentally miscount, remember, Meiser behema is the 10th animal. If you accidentally call the 9th 110 or the 11th 110, they are sanctified as well. So that's a unique halacha by Meiser behema. So it has the ability to sanctify that which comes before the 10th and after. Tetafi lohachi, kedusha meirechem adifa. Nevertheless, we will say that what? That which is sanctified in utero ultimately goes ahead and comes before. So we'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up Emir Tashem with Maaseh Behemah and Ofos tomorrow, and we will resolve all of the questions we raised in today's daf as well. Shkoyach. Yeah, that's for